You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy. Uprooted out of Africa, our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, how are you today? Hope you're having a good day. It is Wednesday, hump day, so getting over that hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, you're going to get it done anyways, because you always persevere. You're always on time, and we appreciate you for it. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, African Perspectives, here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go on our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts, click on that, and then you'll see when you click on that, African Perspectives right at the top. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here, and talking with Brother Elliot, we're definitely going to seek in getting more programs. So if you think that you have something to present to Brother Elliot, and that would be a good program for Time for an Awakening, please do so. This program, once again, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also on Monday evening, all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays is Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8. And then Conversation Reparations every other Monday with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9, from 9 to 10. That time might change. Yeah, it might change. Because it's from 6 to 8, and so it might be from 8 to 9. I don't know. We'll see. Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 9. Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Fridays, see, we're jumping from Tuesday all the way to Friday. Friday at 8 p.m. If it's 8 p.m. on Friday, brother, that's right. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, and it's Time for an Awakening. And then Monday through Friday, the Warm Valentine Show, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time, and right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Go on the website. Also, too, once again, reminding that they have an initiative to open a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. They're seeking donations.
and they want to branch out from that to other areas for a supermarket. There are brothers and sisters that do have farms at growing vegetables and other things and other products that brothers and sisters have. Because once again, we buy black. Our products that are produced by us. So go to the line, check them out. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba. Talking with him very briefly. Yes, the trip to Senegal, April 3rd through the 13th, is suspended, postponed, or rescheduled. What's a good word for you on that? But that's what it is. And so that's what he's going to do, try to reschedule that. As well as the Ghana trip in May 25th to June 5th. Now, the one in November going to South Africa, November 20th through the 30th. And the Ghana trip, December 24th through December 24th to January 5th. Those are still planned, as scheduled. But once again, go to the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give Brother Mamani a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429, Africa for the Africans. And you can still plan to have a trip that is a trip of a lifetime. Also, too, with Renoco, my good brother Renoco Rashidi, drrenoco.com, Dr. D-R. R-U-N-O-K-O. DrRenoco.com. He's going to Uganda and Rwanda. Beautiful pictures on his website. Please go there. October 5th through the 16th. I think it's $4,200. And then he has a Kemetic trip. His tour of Kemet of Egypt. October 22nd through November 4th of 2020. So those are two trips that Dr. Renoco has. Also, once again, brothers and sisters, these are trips of a lifetime. And I'm quite sure Renoco will help you with all kinds of issues that you may have, the paperwork, visas, and so forth, as well as Brother Bomani. They're on his website. Habesha. Habesha stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. The mission is a pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They are doing the work, brothers and sisters. They have outstanding programs, a Habesha Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and Golden Growers. It's sustainable agriculture. And they are already building in Ghana, the Kashi Institute. Project in Ghana. They're doing the work and they need to be supported. Hopefully that you can support Habesha Incorporated.org. Go online and check out Habesha. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Yes, it is not happening. It is closed for activities, but you may give them a call. Today they open Wednesday. They're open from Wednesday through Saturday. From 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. And give them a call. I know I talked to Brother Olatunji. The class is not happening. But if you want to get that history class, the African history class, which is 7 terabytes of African enlightenment, give a call. Okay? The Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore. Give her a call. Like I said, I'm supposed to be doing a presentation there next month. That may be canceled. I'm not sure yet. Depends upon how things are going, but it looks like maybe so. As well as Mama Bayuna Bello, who has her book out, The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution, who's going to be doing a presentation there. But give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. In the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. He is open. He has a coffee bar there now for your enjoyment. And of course he has books. And if he doesn't have the book that you're desiring, believe me, he'll get it for you. because there is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night, 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Akaban Institute, you know I'm going to always promote Akaban Institute because they deserve to be promoted. And they need our help as always. And, of course, he's training our young warriors, helping our brothers to think correctly and to do what's right. Akaban Institute. I just got a message once again that TuneIn is out. What is up with TuneIn? As I stated, Monday, when I start the program, and once I know the program has been started, I go to TuneIn to see if I am broadcasting on TuneIn. And when I did that, I was broadcasting on TuneIn. I'm not sure what's happening with TuneIn, and I'm quite sure Brother Elliot will, along with Scotty Reed at the Black Talk Radio Network, will be dealing with that. Akaban Institute, P.O. Box. So make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Also, you can use Cash App and PayPal. Cash App, the $ Yah, YAAMBARUTI, Baruti. Sanjay Das Haiti, my sister Gabrielle Ruria in the northeastern portion of Haiti, doing an outstanding job with helping our youth with education, health care, and sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship, growing chickens and other stuff. So they need to be supported. They deserve to be supported. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay dash Haiti. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 31st. Education within the context of one's culture is a transmission of cultural knowledge from one generation to the next. A people must be able to transmit culture in all its implicit and explicit forms in order to exist as dynamic agents of their own development. Kwesi Kanindu. Fragile individual egos are so easily satisfied with accumulating degrees, claiming that someone else's validation makes them better than those without, unable to respond if addressed without titles, non-existent without them, caught up in a competitive game of individualized credentialism, misusing their genius to outright reject the notion that this entails a duty to those without higher and higher doses of miseducation. Too many of us are lost in an insatiable consumption where things are rewarded based on whatever papers we wrangle from ebony or ivory towers, totally oblivious to the responsibility of our own that such hollow privileges bring. Some even shirking their revolutionary responsibility. Cunning mercenaries without vision or character. Instead of Western degrees, we should honor community award titles of respect given to those who ensure the dignity, not ruin, of our people. Oh, I love this one, don't you? I say. Affirm, I honor those who work to ensure the dignity of African people. Affirm, I honor those who ensure the dignity of African people. Instead of Western degrees, we should honor community awarded titles, respected, given to those who ensure the dignity, not ruin, of our people. Man. April 1st. A thieving spirit cannot be appeased by sacrifice. You just cannot please some people. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it, And no matter how many times it's done, it will never be enough to satisfy their appetite to be and have all. Thieving spirits and incomplete spiritless beings are no different. In fact, they are the source of a problem so many apologetic, giving African experience day in and day out all of their mentalcidal lives. Nothing they give, not their minds, their bodies, their appetites, their prayers, their beds, their voices, their aspirations, hopes, and dreams, their resources, their power, their lives will suffice. Neither will sacrificing their parents, spouses, siblings, or elders, nor the children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren appease this insatiable beast from the caves of the Caucasus Mountains. Woo, I say. Affirm, I need not feed my enemy's spirit. Affirm, I need not feed my enemy's spirit. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I apologize if you hear any background noise. I live in a condo. I live in a condominium, and they're doing work, so there is noise. So I apologize about that. I usually read this on Wednesdays. Kwame Nkrumah. You know, I love Kwame Nkrumah. I love anybody that loves Africans and understand that Africa must be one. I love them. I praise them. I support them. I advocate on what they talk about and what they do and what they present. Kwame Nkrumah said this is a speech of freedom in 1961. Remember, in 1957, he was the leader of the first country to gain independence from the Urugu. I strongly believe and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on trust, friendship, directed to the good of all mankind. A few years later, because there was no push in that direction, and because the fear of leadership on the continent and neocolonialism and despots and so forth, he said, if we do not approach the problem in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore. So true. Sadly, so true. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European thought and their behavior in order to understand the effect that Europe has on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by the European. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we're African and because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so, we lay at your feet the builder's square and shovel. We lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Middleton, you should go online to YouTube and put in Lester Velt Middleton and the interviews he did with our great warrior scholars, Dr. Clark and Dr. Jackson, Dr. Van Sertima, Dr. Asa Hilliard, all of these greats, Dr. Ben, great interviews. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. so sorry for the background noise, but hey.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh,
yeah. Right now.
What's your name?
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Gil Scott-Heron, born on this day in 1949. He passed May 27, 2011. He was 62 years old. He was born in Chicago, and he passed in New York. One of the main persons who people look to in terms of rap, along with the last poets of my generation, of who spoken word, as we call it now, said the truth of our condition. Unfortunately, he succumbed to substance abuse. Gil Scott-Heron, a tremendous voice. Although he was born April 2nd, 1939, he died on this day, 1984, at 44 years old. Marvin Gaye. He was born in D.C. and he died in L.A. Another strong voice. After he came back with What's Going On album, just fantastic. A beautiful career, a beautiful voice, a beautiful man. Unfortunately, his father shot him. Marvin Gaye Sr. In fact, many people thought it was an April Fool's joke. Just like tomorrow there's no more coronavirus. April Fool, no. Ain't no April Fool. It's real. So we honor Gil Scott-Heron and Marvin Gaye. So, the coronavirus, COVID-19, what is it? What it is? What it ain't? And what it is, it's a serious virus. And we'll try to figure out some things about what it ain't. But what it is a pandemic. Now, of course, I'm not going to mention anything about the idiot in the White House. I can give less than a rat's ass about him and his stupidity and the things that he has said. In fact, right now, he's trying to put a cease and desist out on the words that he used because the Democratic Party and I guess telling him about all this, you know, how he's going to use those words against him in the election, as well as they should. It is he who was doing it, you know. So, yeah. So, I've gotten a lot of good information from a number of sources, you know. And once again, what is true and what is not true, particularly in this information age? Obviously, people have done some things and thinking that they heard something, that this will do something and to prevent coronavirus. The reality of it is here. It is here. And for as far as I'm concerned, to me, the only way to kill this pandemic, and I mean real, is everybody. Everybody wear a mask. So you can't breathe it out or you can't inhale it. This is a respiratory disease. This is pneumonia. That's why, if you listen to the program, I think I mentioned that the two brothers that died in Milwaukee, the first two people that died in Milwaukee, in fact, they stated that Milwaukee's north side, which is Milwaukee, is a very segregated community, mostly us, predominantly us, and that's who's been affected by this virus the most in Milwaukee is us. But the first two brothers to die of it were two brothers that I knew. And, of course, they meet the criteria of having the most problematic in terms of being most problematic in terms of getting this disease, to age and precondition. Because if you've had diabetes, if you have any respiratory problems, asthma, emphysema, bronchitis, if you have any other problems, you know, COPD, whatever, your chances of getting it, and if you get it, you'll go down fast. The two brothers, they were on the local news. And the first brother who I knew them both, but I went to school with, and who was a firefighter with me. His son said, yeah, he wasn't feeling good. He went to the hospital, and 2 days later, he was dead. Then the other brother who had him was a police officer. He was president of the Black Police Association. I was president of the Black Firefighters Association at the same time. And he retired from the police, got a doctorate and did some teaching, and then was appointed to the parole board. And then he left Milwaukee and went to Mississippi. Came back to check on some property and some tax issues or whatever. He caught it. And 2 days, 3 days later, he was dead. I have four people, I was just told yesterday, talking with a brother yesterday, that I know, that are in harm's way. One is a esteemed elder in our community, Baba Reuben Harpo. Much prayers for him. He lost his wife last year. He's 80-something years old. And then there's two other brothers I went to school with. And so I'm praying. And I know everybody else is, if prayers will work. Sometimes they say prayers work. Well, I'll tell you, in this global situation, this global pandemic, we need some prayer, don't we? Ashe. So, it's a respiratory disease. It goes into your nostrils. You breathe it in or into your mouth. And it goes into your trachea or, as you'll say, your windpipe. And then into your lungs. Then it fills your lungs up quickly with fluid. And it's heavy, mucus, and you suffocate, and you die. Now, Trump, early on, when his early on press conferences, daily press conference or briefing, he mentioned chloroquine, which is for malaria. And he said it was doing some good things. Now, you know, anything that Trump says, and I don't watch them. I just go to the news and I listen, watch the national news. They give you a little synopsis. But, you know, I did watch that one. And I watched a few other early ons, but I wouldn't dare watch them now. And I remember Fauci hiding his face, and then he rebuked Trump. He says, we don't know if this has worked. This is anecdotal. That means it hasn't been truly tested. It's not a fact that it works. And, of course, some Caucasians who love and believe in Trump, and there's still some out there who still believe that this virus is a hoax caused by those who want to get rid of Trump. Trump is getting rid of himself by his behavior. There is no damn way in hell that this man should be elected the way he has handled this situation. And any and every damn thing else, even his campaign. His campaign coming in. There's no way he should have been elected with his behavior. And then when he got elected, how he treated the friends of the United States, its allies. Getting rid, he got rid of the committee that dealt with pandemics. He got rid of the, he kicked it out of the Paris Accords for climate change. Oh man, I could go on. There's a whole list. In fact, I saw a piece by Al Franken. Of course, Al Franken lost his Senate seat because of the something that he did some years back. And of course, the Me Too movement got rid of Al Franken. But he wrote a nice piece. I'm going to try to find that piece, maybe try to find it by Friday, because it's a nice piece. All of the stupidity and indiscretions of Donald J. Trump. But he's mishandled this tremendously. So he mentioned chloroquine, which is a drug for malaria. And some person I saw on Facebook said they took it and it kind of worked for them. But some other Caucasian took it and he died. And his wife is very seriously ill because it's hydrochloroquine is what's being tested, and what may be out there has a possible. That's just one of them. There's others. But of course, just like last week, there was a brother talking about if you feel these symptoms, boil some water, hot water, because the virus, when it goes into your nose, into your throat, it stays in your, it likes to stay in your nasal cavities because it's cool there. It doesn't like the heat. So you breathe that in with a lemon peel, orange peel. If hell, you drop the whole lemon in, that's cool too. Some ginger root and some, echinacea, all those vapors going into you, breathing them in for 15, 20 minutes, drinking hot tea and so forth. So there are things that, and if you have something that you believe that would boost your immune system, because that's most important, then, hey, let us know. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about the COVID-19, the coronavirus. What is a corona? Well, of course, a corona. This is named after, and the coronavirus that we are experiencing now. Because they've had corona. They've had coronaviruses for a long time. This is a different strain. This is a strain they don't have a vaccine for. They don't have any medication for. In fact, one person said, oh, man, you can get rid of coronavirus. You just spray some Lysol. It's on the can. Yeah. And then somebody said, well, yeah, they got a patent on coronavirus. No, this is, y'all, a different strain of coronavirus. This is the most virile, I mean, just horrifying strain of coronavirus. There is no cure for this. A corona is like a crown. Like you see those pictures of Jesus, you know, you see him and had a crown over his head. Well, of course, we had those pictures and like that long before Christianity. We had them back in ancient Kemet. And other religions had them as well. So when you see the sun, the glow around the sun, that's a corona. It is an aura. It is an aura. That's what a corona is. And see, that's what the virus looks like. You've seen the pictures all the time. What you see, it's round with the spikes coming out. The spikes coming out of it, that is the corona. Okay? That's what it means. The coronavirus. And of course, I just saw a piece that was sent to me, the coronavirus epidemic and the Chinese Western complicity against Africans, the truth that are not being told. And what this article was stating from a number of doctors in various countries of the Congo, Cote d'Ivoire, Kenya, and so forth, that the Chinese are trying to say that, no, this is, does not affect you. They put out a false video with some African brother saying, see, he doesn't get it. And that went around, you remember that, about a month ago. They said black people don't get this. And then when we looked at Africa, when Europe was being devastated, particularly Italy, people were literally dropping like flies, like they are doing now in New York. I think New York had like 400 people drop dead yesterday. Now it's approaching over 4,000 people who have died in this country. We're predicting. Now they're saying
even if you do the things that they're saying that you should do, that they're predicting over 100,000 to 150,000 or more, maybe even 200,000 people will die from this before it levels off. That's why, to me, the distancing, the congregating, all of those things are necessary for people not to do. No, excuse me, to do distancing and not congregating. Let me be correct so I don't try to cause any confusion. But most importantly, I think, to wear a mask, to wear a gloves. Really, to wear a mask and wear a glove. Because when you go out, as you are in the store, you may only touch what you are going to buy, and maybe what you touch hasn't been touched by anybody who's infected. But because you got gloves on, it doesn't matter. Because you may see somebody or walk by somebody, you may be near somebody, and they're looking at something, and you're looking at something. And even if they do sneeze, it won't affect you. Or cough. Because they say those droplets, they can, that's why they gave you that 6 feet difference. And then, although they'll last for a few hours, but on surfaces, steel and so forth, they'll last longer. These are the things that it is. These are the things that are true about the coronavirus, the COVID-19. Maybe this is the 19th strain of this virus. I don't know why they call it the COVID-19. But in Africa, because they, you know, because Ebola was different. Ebola, you had to have physical contact. It wasn't from person to person. It wasn't like the movie Outbreak. Get the movie Outbreak if you haven't seen it. Dustin Hoffman, Morgan Freeman, Cuba Gooding Jr., Rene Russo. Get the movie Outbreak. And although one made an analogy, well, that's just like the AIDS, because it was a monkey. The guy brought a monkey back. And of course, he was real sick. And he went to the theater. And the theater was, I guess it was a great movie, a first run movie, whatever. And he sneezed. And it got into the vac system. And of course, the air system pushed it out. And so everybody, get the movie Outbreak. Or get Contagion, the movie Contagion, with Lawrence Fishburne. There's a lot out there. It's a lot of information, a lot of disinformation. I'm going to play a piece. Brother Paul gave me a piece. I definitely want to play, and that deals with a coinciding with these viruses. There were times in human history that because we wanted to communicate, so we had radio waves. And when that brought into radio waves at the early part of last century, also right after the First World War, it was, although they call it the Spanish flu, because it didn't originate in Spain. Just like Trump said, I'm calling it the Chinese virus because it, China virus, China, because it originated in Wuhan. Well, that flu didn't originate in Spain, but it killed, millions of some people, because it was, once again, another global pandemic. And then the other piece that it, in Wuhan, 5G. And it stated that all those pandemics, there was some kind of jump in the technology in radio waves and sonic and sonar and so forth. So we're going to play that particular piece and talk about that. And Dr. Fauci, although I'm going to just be real, this is what Trevor knew. I thought it was a good piece, but I don't like Dr. Fauci because he was adamant that the AIDS virus was not man-made. The AIDS virus, I don't give a damn what he say. The AIDS virus acquired immune deficiency syndrome, the AIDS virus, was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland. It was commissioned by the United States Army to develop a biological weapon. And then they leased it on community that they felt is definitely expendable, the homosexual community. And then who later became the most targeted group? American African women. American African men. Ravishing Africa. Ravishing the continent. Stating that it happened because of an African green. We were eating green monkeys or some bull. That was man-made. And when Fauci said that, I had lost all credibility for him. Well, that's the first time I really had seen him. But that was, of course, back in the 80s. And he's been around that long. Exactly. So there's some these, the CDC, which is headquartered here, right here in Atlanta, which also in the 80s had another issue of the Atlanta child murders. See, that's what I'm saying. To me, there's a lot of, there's a lot of suspicion. And if you believe in some conspiracy, you should, because there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of things that are out there. But one thing I do know at this very moment, people are dying. Some of my friends, people I know back in Milwaukee, there was a time that I knew some people who died from, well, you don't die from AIDS, okay? You don't die. Let's be clear. You do not die from AIDS, or you do not die from HIV, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And when Magic Johnson got it, because I had done some work in that area, I was a volunteer and working with young people, I knew Magic Johnson was not going to die. Because just because you get HIV, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, you won't die. If you get AIDS at the time, there was a little more chance that you would die, but although they were developing the cocktails, as they call it, a multiplicity of drugs that you would have to take, I knew he wasn't going to die. And of course, you see, Magic Johnson hasn't died, he's flourishing. He's living. But he still has the virus. It's just like herpes. You can suppress it, but you still have the virus. So the AIDS is your immune system is so damn depleted that you would die from a respiratory disease like this easily, because you died from pneumonia or nictitis sarcoma or some other diseases. Get the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. So no, you don't die from AIDS. You die because your immune system was so bad. So then what did you get? You got a cancer? You got a respiratory disease? That's what you died from, because your immune system was shot. And that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters, is boost our immune system. When you go online, go to whatever, find ways to boost your immune system. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to be right back, and we're going to deal with this. Hopefully you'll join us. Hope you give us a call in at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Brother Oshie. I usually don't say that around that time. I say that at the beginning, but sometimes, you know, I'll just be missing it. You know what I'm saying? Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Conversations Reparations every other week with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Friday, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then once again on Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. You know, I read you that piece. I didn't read it. I just mentioned it about Africa and the caution that Africa has because of how they want to, the Chinese and everybody, you know, every damn body, the Europeans, they want Africa. It's a damn shame. We sit on the jewel of the world, what everybody wants, and we're trying to run from, and they're going to kill us for it, and we're going to let it happen. It's a damn shame. The coronavirus, Brother Paul sent me this as well. Coronavirus, this vaccine, the creating a vaccine that is poison, and the West wants to destroy Africa on the pretext that this is the coronavirus that destroyed the continent. Why don't they start the vaccine in Italy? Because it's messing up a whole bunch of folks as well as Spain and France, where there are a lot of cases. Why do they want to start it in Africa? Where there are fewer cases, because African leaders should be cautious. The only vaccine and antidote to fight coronavirus, as he mentioned here, is chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine that's being tested. And this message should be given to all Africans. But there's a piece that he also, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to play this piece by Dr. Thomas Cowan, Virus and Electrification. And it's a very interesting piece. And then I'm going to play the piece with Trevor Noah and Dr. Fauci.
I have 10 minutes. I wasn't sure I was going to get to this stage, but I can't help but say something about this whole coronavirus thing, if you want me to. Yes. So, again, when you know Steiner, you have the answers to the test, but you have to then figure out the details. In 1918, after the huge, biggest pandemic, the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, Steiner was asked, what was this all about? And he said, well, viruses are simply excretions of a toxic cell. Viruses are pieces of DNA or RNA with a few other proteins. They bud out from the cell. They happen when the cell is poisoned. They are not the cause of anything. And the first way I would encourage you to think about this is if you are a famous dolphin doctor, right, and you have been studying dolphins in the Arctic Circle for hundreds of years, or at least a long time, and the dolphins were fine, and then they call you up, Fred, all the dolphins or a lot of the dolphins are dying in the Arctic Circle. Can you come and investigate? Right? And you have one question to ask. So show of hands, how many of you would say, I want to investigate a dolphin to see the genetic makeup of that dolphin? Nobody, because that's stupid. How many of you would say, I want to see if this dolphin and that dolphin has a virus because it might be contagious and that's why all these dolphins are getting sick? That fellow. How many of you would say, excuse my French here, somebody put some shit in the water here? Like Exxon Valdez? Anybody? Everybody. Because that's what happened. And the cells get poisoned. They try to purify themselves by excreting debris, which we call viruses. If you go to the current theory of viruses called exosomes, and the latest head of the NIH giving a talk on the complexity of viruses, you will see this is perfectly in line with the current thinking on what a virus really is. I had a dramatic example of this when I was growing up. Out right outside our house, there was a wetlands, and it was full of frogs, and the frogs kept me up at night, so I taped the windows, and they were in the spring, they made a big racket. And then over time, the frogs were all gone. How many thinks the frogs had a genetic disease? How many thinks the frogs had a virus? How many thinks somebody put DDT into the water? That's what happened. Diseases are poisoning. It's one of the reasons why vaccines... So let me skip that for a minute. So what happened in 1918? There was a huge... In every pandemic in the last 150 years, there was a quantum leap in the electrification of the Earth. In 1918, late fall of 1917, there was the introduction of radio waves around the world. Whenever you expose any biological system to a new electromagnetic field, you poison it, you kill some, and the rest go into a kind of suspended animation so that, interestingly, they live a little bit longer and sicker. And then starts in World War II with the next pandemic, with the introduction of radar equipment all over the Earth, blanketing the entire Earth in radar fields. First time humans have ever been exposed to that. In 1968, there was the Hong Kong flu, and it was the first time the Earth has a protective layer in the Van Allen belt, which essentially integrates the cosmic fields from the sun and the Earth, from the moon and Jupiter, etc., integrates that and essentially distributes that to the living beings of the Earth. And we put satellites emitting radioactive frequencies in the Van Allen belt. Within 6 months, we had a new viral pandemic. Why viral? Because the people are poisoned, they excrete toxins, they look like viruses. People think it's a flu epidemic. In the 1918 epidemic, the Boston Health Department decided to investigate the contagiousness of this, so they, believe it or not, took hundreds of people with the flu, and they sucked the snot out of their nose and injected it into the healthy people who didn't have the flu, and not one time could they make the next person sick. They did this over and over again, and they were not able to demonstrate contagion. They even did it with horses who apparently got the Spanish flu, and they put bags over their head, and the horses sneezed in the bag, and they put the bag over the next horse, and not one horse got sick. You can read about this in a book called The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, who chronicles all the steps in the electrification of the Earth and how within 6 months there was a new flu pandemic all over the world. And when you hear the normal explanations, how did it go from Kansas to South Africa in 2 weeks so the entire world got the symptoms at the same time, in spite of the fact that the mode of transportation was horseback and boats, and there's no explanation for it? They just say, we don't know how that happened. But when you think about it, with these radio waves and other frequencies that some of you have in your pocket and on your wrist, you can send a signal to Japan and it arrives instantaneously. So any of you who don't believe, there is an electromagnetic field that communicates globally within seconds, just is not paying attention to this. And I will only finish by pointing out that there has been a dramatic and quantum leap in the last 6 months with the electrification of the Earth. And I'm sure a lot of you know what that is. It's called 5G, where they now have 20,000 radiation-emitting satellites, just like the radiation-emitting thing in your pocket and on your wrist and that you use all the time. That is not compatible with health. I'm sorry to say it. It's not compatible with health. That is a water destructuring device. And for any of you who say, yeah, well, we're not electrical beings, we're just physical matter, then don't bother doing an EKG or an EEG or a nerve conduction test, because we are electrical beings and the chemicals are only the byproduct of those electrical impulses. And I'll finish with, anybody want to make one guess as to where the first completely blanketed 5G city in the world was? Exactly. So when you start thinking about this, we are in an existential crisis here, folks, the likes of which humankind has never seen. And I don't want to go all Old Testament prophet on you, but this is something that is unprecedented. The putting of 100,000 satellites in the very blanket of the Earth. And by the way, as I was going to say earlier, this actually has something to do with the vaccine question. And this got brought home to me because about a year ago or so, I had a patient who came in who was totally fine, a surfer and all, and then he broke his... He works as an electrician putting in Wi-Fi systems for very wealthy people. Electricians have a very high mortality rate. But he was fine. And then he breaks his arm and he gets a metal plate put in his arm. 3 months later, he couldn't get out of bed and was total... You know, heart irregularities, just total collapse. The susceptibility has to do with how much metal you have in your body, as well as the quality of the water in your cells. So if you start injecting aluminum in people, they become receptors for absorbing increased electromagnetic fields, and that is a perfect storm for the kind of deterioration of the species, which is what we're now experiencing. And I'm just going to finish with one more thing, which I like to, is a quote from Rudolf Steiner. And by the way, this was around 1917, so it was a different time. In times when there were no electrical currents, when the air was not swarming with electrical influences, we're talking 1917, it was easier to be human. For this reason, in order to be human at all today, it is necessary to expend much stronger spiritual capacities than was necessary a century ago. So I'll just leave you with whatever you can do to increase your spiritual capacities, because it's really damn hard to be a human being these days. So thanks for listening.
That was Dr. Cowan, and I'm hoping that that was heard decently. I should have turned it up. But, you know, when Brother Paul sent me that, I listened to that a few times, and that became very interesting to me. Did a little more research in terms. Because, see, a lot of times, in fact, I read another piece prior about a doctor in at Harvard, and two of his assistants were Chinese, and they were working on the coronavirus, supposedly. And he was arrested before he went back to China. And he was working at the laboratory in Wuhan. And supposedly they got you thinking that the virus was manipulated and starting in Wuhan and then spread across the world. you know. And but one thing Dr. Cowan said is that how did they get from there to there so fast? And I know today, unlike 1917, where it was just a boat and a horse, today they're jets. There's all kinds of methods of travel and transmission. So that was very interesting to me. And but also, too, I got a piece from Dr. Fauci and with Trevor Noah. I thought that was interesting. Like I said, I ain't too hip on, you know, understand this for me. I take what Caucasians say, you know, with the side eye anyway. Okay. That's just me. You know, I'm not into the believing in it, even if it's totally substantiated. But this is Trevor Noah and Dr. Fauci.
Everything from SARS to Ebola to the HIV epidemic and Zika. What makes coronavirus so different?
Well, it's different because, you know, when people used to ask me over the years, what is it that I most worry about with regard to emerging infectious diseases, is a respiratory-borne illness that easily spreads from person to person, but that has a high degree of morbidity and mortality. And unfortunately, that's the worst nightmare you could have, is to have something like that. I mean, there are other diseases. Ebola was frightening, but Ebola gets transmitted only when you're in very close contact with a person who is very, very ill. With this disease, in some respects similar to influenza, but in some respects very different, it spreads very easily. You can even spread it when you're not symptomatic. So it's insidious and treacherous in that you could spread it easily. The other part about it that's really so different from anything that we've ever faced before is that if you look at the mortality of seasonal flu, the thing that you and I go through every season, the mortality is about 0.1%. That's a lot. And we get used to that morbidity and mortality. But the mortality of this is about 10 times that. It's at least 1%. So it's a disease that not only is easily spread, but it can be devastating, particularly for a certain subset of the population, demographically different. The elderly, those with underlying conditions, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, it can be very serious for them with a high degree of mortality.
Let's talk a little bit about the information in and around corona that's I think, getting people confused. I see so many conflicting ideas online, and I guess the horrible byproduct of having social media and the internet is everyone is now an expert and everyone has an opinion. I know this is very basic for you, but just to help everyone be on the same page, how can we catch corona and what are the areas we should be most concerned about? So we know about human-to-human transmission. Most people understand that, but I see people online worried about grocery shopping, touching packages that they receive from Amazon. Do people need to wipe them down? When they're in the grocery store, can they touch other things? How long does coronavirus last in the air? For instance, if you walk into an elevator after somebody else, can coronavirus still be there? What do we need to be on the lookout for as individuals?
Okay, there's varied degrees of risk, Trevor, of that in every respect. But the things that are the most common that you really want to latch on to is that sneezing and coughing. When someone is ill, they've got to get themselves out of circulation because they can spread by droplets and even by what we call aerosol, which means the drop doesn't go down right away. It hangs around for a bit. So you could come into a room thinking everything is all right, and then you inhale it. That's likely not the primary way. The primary way is probably droplet. But another way that's very important is handshaking. When people naturally go like that, they cough, and then it's innocent. There's nothing on their hand. They shake your hand, or they open a doorknob. And that's the thing. You don't want to be obsessive compulsive about wiping everything down that you go near. But one of the real bad actors is somebody who just opens a door, and then 15 minutes later, because we know the virus can live on inanimate hard objects like steel or plastic for at least several hours. So that's the thing you've got to be careful of. That's one of the reasons why, if you really want to be careful, besides the social distancing of 6 feet, don't shake anybody's hands. Just lose that for a while. And wash your hands as often as you can, because You may be inadvertently touching something. Now, your other question, Trevor, that's important, is that I don't think we need to get completely obsessed about packages that come in, because those types of surfaces, the virus might live there for a very short time. But people say, should I get a package from a grocery store that says made in China? I wouldn't worry about that. That's not the issue. It's more the close things, the hand washing.
Let's talk a little bit about what you alluded to earlier, the mortality rate of the disease and how people have misconstrued the numbers. We know that people who are older or people who have underlying respiratory infections have a higher chance of dying from the virus. But I think people have started to believe that that means young people are immune and cannot get sick from coronavirus. What are people not understanding from the numbers?
Trevor, they're not understanding two things that are important. A, even though you are young, you are not absolutely invulnerable, for sure, because we're seeing cases. Most of them have some underlying disease, but several don't, who are young people, 30s, 40s, who are getting sick, getting into the hospital, requiring intensive care. Still, the overwhelming proportion are the elderly with underlying disease. But every once in a while, you're going to get a young person. So if you think you're completely invulnerable, you're incorrect. Second issue that's important, that even though you may not get seriously ill, you can get infected with relatively few symptoms, either asymptomatic or mild, relatively trivial symptoms. But then you can infect another person who would then infect a vulnerable person who would then die. I mean, it's the typical example. I'm young, I'm healthy, but you go home, you infect grandma, grandpa, and your sick uncle. So you have a responsibility not only to protect yourself, but you almost have a societal moral responsibility to protect other people.
In talking about the virus, it feels like, understandably, everyone is trying to find an answer. Everybody is trying to find their own solution. Unfortunately, that has bred, it's created a breeding ground for misinformation. For instance, cures that people are touting online, concoctions of different medications, etc. We read about malaria drugs and chloroquine or whatever it is. What is the biggest warning you would give to the general public about trying to self-medicate, or is there any cure that people actually have discovered? What, as a leading health expert, what do you say about this issue?
So right now, today, as we speak, there is no proven safe and effective direct therapy for coronavirus disease, for sure. There are a number of clinical trials that are trying to, by randomized controlled trials, get a definitive answer as to what works and what does work, not work, what's safe, what's not safe. Superimposed upon that, there are drugs that are already approved for other things, like hydroxychloroquine for malaria and for certain autoimmune diseases, that there have been anecdotal stories. By anecdotal, I mean people kind of think they work, but they haven't really proven they work. That's right. Really gotten out there on the internet. So people are very enthusiastic, since generally these drugs appear to be safe, and they are, but they do have some toxicities. So a lot of people want a drug, even though it's not proven, just in case it might help them. You got to be careful about that for a couple of reasons. You don't want to take that drug off the market for the people who really need it, who have the diseases it's used for. And on the other hand, there may be some toxicity. That's the reason why we're pushing to try and get as many good clinical trials as possible to prove if it works. If it does, then get it out there really fast for everybody.
Got it. I have four questions, because I know we're going to run out of time, but I just want to let you know I have four questions that I think are really important. Number one, we hear about this clock, 15 days, where things will be reassessed, 15 days where people might go back, 15 days, every country, 21 days. There seems to be a clock. My question is, what is that clock supposed to be, and is there a certain amount of time that people can be away from each other where coronavirus goes away? And the follow-up in that same question is, does the clock start if people are not completely quarantined during that period?
Yeah, the virus is the clock, Trevor. So people say, may arbitrarily, well, in 2 weeks, we're going to be okay. It depends on the kinetics of the outbreak. Right now, take New York City. They are getting hit really hard, and the kinetics of the outbreak is going there. You can't predict when it'll make that turnaround and start coming down. In general, if you look historically at countries that have been through the whole cycle, in China, it was about 8 weeks or so before it went way up and then way down. In Korea, the same thing. So if you look at each individual country, and being a big country as we are here in the United States, we're almost like a lot of little countries. Like New York in itself can be considered a country. California can be considered a country. So it's unpredictable about when you can say this cycle. It's usually measured in several weeks. Sometimes when you're into the cycle, you may only be 2 to 3 weeks away before it starts to turn around.
Right. Okay, so then to that point, that's then my second of the four questions. Second question is New York City really harder hit? Or is New York's testing making the numbers spike up? And is this something that we're going to see start trending throughout America?
Well, a couple of good questions right in there. New York is more hardly hit for sure. The nature of the city, the crowding of the city, the fact that you get the beginning of your outbreak when you get influx from other countries. China was the index country that came in. New York is a travel hub of the country. So clearly we had a lot of cases come in. By the time they realized what they were dealing with, they had already gotten a sucker punch. And they really were playing catch up. They didn't do anything wrong. They're not very different, except that they're a big, robust city. And because of that, they're getting hit hard.
Okay. And then the second last question is with regards to reinfection and immunity. We talk about people who have it and are asymptomatic. We talk about people who are recovering, and we're starting to see those numbers grow around the world. Do we know yet if getting corona and surviving corona means that you are now immune to the disease, or is there a chance of reinfection?
We don't know that for 100% certain, because we haven't done the study to see re-challenges, whether they've been protected. But I feel really confident that if this virus acts like every other virus that we know, once you get infected, get better, clear the virus, that you'll have immunity that will protect you against reinfection. So it's never 100%, but I'd be willing to bet anything that people who recover are really protected against reinfection.
Okay, and then our final question, and thank you so much for your time. I really hope everyone understands how important it is to listen to you. Final question with regards to the government, the CDC, the NIH, and all of the units working together. Right now, it feels like there is a push and pull, a tug of war between states and the federal government, etc. For Americans who are out there watching this, what is the plan, and what do you think needs to happen for the whole unit of the United States to fight the coronavirus, you know, implementing different checks and balances along the way to make sure that everyone fights it and the numbers go down?
Well, that's a very good question. Things are implemented at the state and local level. That's the way this country works so well. The federal government is a facilitator, it's a supplier, it's a supporter. And that's the way things should be going. And that's what we're starting to see now as we are catching up on things that weren't done so well in the beginning. We now have many, many more tests. The private industry is getting involved. The government's not making the test. The private industry is. The ventilators that are needed coming out of the stockpile, yet companies are starting to make more. So it really is a marriage between the federal government as the facilitator and supporter of where the real action is at the state and local level.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fauci. You've been amazing. I could talk to you for an hour on this, but I know everyone wants your time. Good luck with what you're doing, and I hope we're doing our part to make your job a little bit easier. Thank you.
You are very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with
Stay
you.
Stay safe and wash your hands because of that fake cough you did.
Take care.
Welcome back. Like I said, I thought that was a pretty deep piece. Okay, we got Brother Paul. Brother Paul is with us. I appreciate Brother Paul a lot. You know, he's doing his part on the other side of the pond, as we always call it, to bring awareness and to bring consciousness to the African community of the UK and ultimately of Europe. Brother Paul, are you there? Brother Paul, are you there? Okay.
Yes, Brother Ochi, Baba Ochi, I'm here. There's a few things I want to drop out here, and I want to connect them very quickly because it's important.
Okay, well, that's what you that's what you do. You connect the dots, and I appreciate you for it.
Well, Brother Ochi, I'm realizing because sometimes things are very surreal. Because they've given us an image of us. They've given us the narrative. We've been educated, misinformed by these people. So even as I talk, I'm still learning. I'm always learning. But listen, my grandfather passed away last week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. Sorry to hear my sincere and deepest condolences to you and your family, brother. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that. But listen, I appreciate him. I realize my relationship with my grandfather, from talking to other people, because how many people can say that they know their grandfather? But I knew him. He would have been 93 this year. And I was proud of talking about him because although he had a heart bypass a few years ago and he did have little problems, he would get up every morning and walk to the shop with no aid of a walking stick. He walked freely. And he would buy all the newspapers. And he's done that most of his life and read everything. So I could go there and I could talk about, I could talk to him about the iPhone, and he hasn't even got a mobile phone because he reads everything. Yeah. And he would tell me, you know, when he came from Jamaica, why he didn't go to America. He'd tell me all sorts of things, fill me with information, primary source of information. Anyway, cut a long story short, there's a relationship between his death. When I phoned his wife, he separated from my grandmother. My grandmother's still alive, but he remarried years ago. But why I'm saying this is because I spoke to his wife. I go there once a month or whenever I can. And she told me she was not very well. And the tone of voice she talked with me, I've never heard her speak like that. So straight, and I phoned them because I knew that the government was saying if you're over a certain age, you have to leave these people alone. Whatever, and I thought, I'm not leaving my grandparents. He's my grandfather. I'm not leaving them. No way. And if it means that I get infected, whatever, I'm not doing it. I'm going there. So I went there to see him, and they didn't open the door because they had been informed by the government. They watch television not to open, you know, to isolate themselves, okay? So he didn't. So when I got home, I phoned, and that's when she told me that she wasn't very feeling. So I said, how's granddad? She says, he's lying there on the bed. He's not very well either. So my mind started. I didn't expect to hear this from them. Yeah. So anytime I phone, whether he's unwell or whatever, he'll always come to the phone. But he didn't. So I didn't push it. I said, listen, I'll phone you tomorrow and make sure you're okay. If anything, I'll come over. She said, no, don't come. I said, no, I will come. Anyway, I'm learning now. You know, and I'm putting this out there because this is real. This is real. I'm now learning that they are church people. My grandfather's a church person, and I feel the same about you about the church and Christianity. But I've never had that conversation with my grandfather because, you know, he's my mom's father, and out of respect, I've never mentioned about Christianity or anything to him like that. He's a deacon, and I just leave that. But what it is that sometimes when I go there, he told me to phone first. And I wouldn't phone because I know that he's only telling me to phone first because he puts his church before his family because he's a church person, yeah? So sometimes I'll just turn up there, yeah, and he'll tell me, oh, I'm going to church now or whatever. We didn't get any dispute about it. It was okay. But what I'm saying to you, I'm learning now that his wife, well, I've been told, I don't know if it's fact, but church people are saying this, that his wife was ill and he was actually looking after his wife. Whatever she had, she gave to him. Okay, she was told by some of the church people, "You're ill." At the beginning, this is at the beginning of the warnings. It's best if you stay at home. Yeah, or whatever. They live in a small accommodation. I'm not blaming this woman at all because my grandfather was a church person. But what I'm saying is that the church people are saying she gave whatever she had to my grandfather. Yeah, and she. When she was told to stay at home, she said, God would save her. Don't worry, God would save her. Well, we know all about that. Now, I'm not saying I blame her at all because my father was a church person, but I'm just giving you the reality. We talk about these things for a long time, Brother Ochi. We talk about these things, how these people have brainwashed us, how these people have us under this control. Now we're seeing the personification of the reality of it. Now, I lost him, you know, and I've had a cry about it because I remember all the good memories. I'm not afraid to lie. I had a cry about it. But in reality, the thing is, he lived a good life. How many of us are going to make 93? So the mere fact that my children knew him, they knew him. I've got pictures with them. You know, I think, you know, that's a blessing for them. You know, they knew their great grandfather. That is, yeah. So I'm happy with that. But since that time, several people have died. Just all of a sudden, you know, you've spoken to Dr. Abu of Galaxy of Free.
Yes.
He was speaking to another radio presenter on the phone because another presenter, nobody can find him. We hear rumors that he's in a hospital, but nobody's been able to locate him.
Oh, wow.
They were having a conversation about that. Where is he? You know, what can we do to find him? You know, nobody's not answering his phone, whatever. The person he was speaking to is a radio presenter. The next morning, he died. Okay, he died. Now, I have a feeling I remember speaking to him because I know him, and he had some underlying conditions. I can't remember exactly what he said. He was talking about health on his programs and whatever, yeah? But I have to put this out there. This is personal, but I have to put it so people understand the seriousness of what's going on. Anyway, I spoke to my auntie. That's my mum's eldest sister. That's my grandfather's eldest daughter. She's 72, okay? I was speaking to her, and she's ill at the moment. And her daughter, who lives with her, is ill too. Now, she told me she went to a funeral, right? This is what she said. She went to a funeral, and when she came back, she wasn't feeling very well. Since that time, I phoned her yesterday, because I knew she knew that the presenter, his name's Dougie. I knew she knew him, but everybody knows him. He's a community man. He's on the radio. He does a lot for the community. Everybody's come into contact with him or they've seen him on the internet or anything. So I speak to my aunt, and she said to me, I gave her the description of the name of the person. She couldn't remember who the person was. As the conversation went on, she described him. She said, does he wear a hat type, like a Rustler's wear, like that type of hat? And I said, yeah, I laughed. I said, yeah, that's him. She said he was at that funeral. I did not know he was at that funeral. She told me he was at that funeral. She told me several of them, that some family even came from America. She told me this. This is her word. She said at that funeral, some family had come from America, yeah? And she knows that several, some of those people who came from America are ill now. They use a particular mic. This is my auntie telling me this. There was two mics. She said the brother who died, she knows he spoke because he gave a very heartwarming rendition of the person who died. Look, this is what I'm putting out there. This is not a joke. This is not no time to hypothesize about anything. This is real. So I was listening to WOL because I was taking it lightly. I'll be honest with you. I was taking this thing, you know, virus. I kept on following this narrative, what the government and the so-called officials are putting out there. Virus, okay? Until I listened to Cynthia McKinney on WOL, and she raised the alarm. She said, fire. And I realized that. So when I went on the internet and done the research, I came across the research she was talking about, and I read everything. It took me 2 days, and I read all the papers. And I said to myself, wow, we're here. We're in it. The house is burning down. The house is burning down, but nobody's screaming. She screamed fire, but it's not being screamed loud enough. Listen, I read a book in 1989, Ralph Epperson. Hello?
Hello, are you there? Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I read a book in 1989. My daughter was born in 1988, so I know it was 1990 I read that book, 2 years about, yeah? Ralph Epperson, The New World Order. I read that book. Now, at that time, Brother Ochi, I didn't have all this information I have now. Yeah. And I remember reading that book and thinking, no, this is crazy. Ralph Epperson, for those who don't know, he's a European man, lives in America. And he was a Freemason, and he became a Christian. And because of what he learned in while he was a Freemason, he, by the way, for those who don't know, America has the biggest congregation of Freemasons per capita anywhere on the planet. And that is headed from here, right, England. There's no argument. I'm not disputing it. It's headed from here. Okay? So what I'm saying is that he said he was a Freemason. And he what he learned, he had a crisis of conscience and he became a Christian. That's why he wrote the book, to reveal what was going on. And I read that book. And at the time, I was thinking, nah, this is far out. All these crazy things you're talking about, yeah? How they're going to make create a system where only the fittest can survive and all these sort of things. Yeah? Since that time, I have seen everything in that book come to pass. Everything. There's nothing in that book I haven't seen come to pass. And he talks about this. He talks about this. That was 1989. And I know, I think he, when you look at when he wrote that book, I think it was in the 70s. Yeah, he originally wrote it. Yeah? So they knew what was going on from time. And this is not the first time they've done this. We know about Tulsa, Oklahoma. We know about Ebola. We know about all this. They make Hollywood is designed to soften people to the reality. That's what it's designed to do. That's what it's so they so the, when they make these movies, this is what's coming down the pipeline. Okay, so today, right, three or four people around me are now dead. So I hear what now? And you've just mentioned people are dying. Right now, when I was listening to that piece you played about New York, it connected a dot for me because I take an interest. I read a lot. I take an interest in what's happening to our people everywhere on the planet, what's happening to people per se. It connected a dot for me because he said, why is it happening in New York? And I, you know, I'm not there, Brother Ochi, but I've got a very good, call me the detective. I can put things together. In New York, I, you know, the last time I went to New York, I didn't know this because I wasn't looking for this, but I read it. You know, my family's in America, so I take an interest. My family's there. My mom's sister's there. You know, my mom's brother's in Canada. You know, so I take an interest. I've been to these places. I know them. I've lived there. So I was looking on the internet, and people were saying, and I was watching some YouTube videos, they were saying that they were, a few years, maybe 5 years ago, it might be longer, they were saying that things are appearing in New York, but they don't know what they are. Nobody knew what they were. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this, right? Now, I have a computer background, data background, so I know what a node is, or what you call, you know, a telemask, you know, and I know they're hiding telemasks because people are concerned when you put a telemask near a school or whatever, so they turn them into things you can't see. Even where I live, they've done it, you know. A few months ago, I heard a woman who's rounding up where I live because she said that children are getting cancer disproportionately because all these new phone masks are appearing. This is not new.
Right, right.
This is not new. This has been going on for a while.
Right.
You understand? This has been going on. So when I was looking on this YouTube a few years ago, they were saying these things were appearing in New York. Nobody could explain what they were. But I was looking at them, and they didn't look like telemasks, like the masks for mobile phones. They were kind of right. They looked like more like radar masks, but I could not, by looking at them, work out what they were. And nobody seemed to know what they were. They were saying that there's some sort of device for crowd control, where they would beam in like high frequencies to control crowd. And I kind of went with it a little bit, possible, because I've read about these things. Yeah, these new technologies being created in America, all these kind of weapons always being created. And I kind of went with it, but nobody really confirmed what it was. But here today now, all of a sudden, we're hearing, why is it? So I have this feeling, yes, there is I understand 3G. 3G is 2.5 frequency, 2.5 gigahertz is microwave frequency. And that has moved it, they've doubled it to 5 gigahertz, which means that if you can imagine your microwave works at about 2.5 gigahertz. By the way, your phone works about 2.5 gigahertz. Your phone is sending out microwave signals. That's why if you put your phone to your head, your brain starts to heat because it's doing the same thing a microwave does, which is heating up the cells, vibrating the cells internally, yeah? So they've doubled that now. From 2.5, if you imagine sticking your head in a microwave, that's 2.5 gigahertz. They've doubled it to 5 gigahertz. That's the danger, right? Now, I'm saying, after I've just listened to that, I'm saying, I wonder, because I was under the idea that I know they've bought this virus from North Carolina, and they've sold it to China. I've read the papers. It's not an argument.
So, wait a minute. Say that again. Say that again. The coronavirus, the COVID-19 virus, you're saying came out of the United States.
See, I'm not calling it the coronavirus at all.
Right? Okay.
I'm not even calling it a virus. And the reason why, I'm not an expert on this, because what I realize is that what these people do, we got Brother Franklin Jones, who constantly talks about the Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute is based in London. It's here. And if you read the history of the Tavistock Institute, right, one of the things they do, they give you, they sow a mantra. They sow a narrative. They put out a name. And they get you to follow it, right? Look, Brother Franklin told us about this, and I've done the research. They've used this thing since the Second World War to take over countries. They've used the same things to control people, the narratives, the labels, okay? So I'm not calling it COVID-19, right? I'm calling it a biological weapon devised to kill people, which I assumed is that got out of hand, right? Because I give people the benefit of that. I say no one is so evil to let this on the world, right? Because it doesn't make sense. But after listening to what you played, right? Well, after listening to what you played, I'm thinking now, and this is just my hypothesis. The man said it's concentrated in New York, okay? Now, I'm thinking now that is it possible? Because I've been seeing on the internet for a long while, they've been testing 5G, like even in England, and they've been finding birds on the floor, you understand? Mm-hmm. Dropped out of the sky.
Yes.
You've seen this?
Yes.
Right. So this has been, these testings have been going on a while. So what I'm saying to you, Ochi, the problem is, if you look at Huawei, right, this company who took the technology, what I know about them, and I can tell you as fact, before they came on the ground, before they became prominent, Richard Branson was controlling the internet through Virgin, through cable. It was cable we used to get broadband, and he was controlling the majority of it, yeah? Because I bought this thing and I was using it, so I know about it. The first, what freed us from the cable, they gave us a dongle, which is a USB device.
Okay.
And it was
right.
Hawaii who gave us that, yeah?
Right.
And it was cheap. It was cheaper than broadband.
Oh, no doubt.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
And more efficient, okay? And it went from there. So we had that, the first tenor. Then they put it in the phones. They had the dongle, then they put it in the phones. And then they everybody caught on, and then now they are where they are. So they're the biggest threat to because they basically have taken the technology to another level. So we know what the position is with Hawaii. They are a threat to the controllers and the corporate companies who deal in technology in America because they have taken it to another level. Okay, so we know that the American government as in the South China Sea has surrounded them with war ships. So we know what's going on. And we know that Donald Trump has put these economic sanctions on them via tariffs. So this is serious.
Well, let me say this right quick about that. Because you have a pandemic, you have people dying around the world. One of the things that should happen is that any and all sanctions on anybody should be lifted. People should be able now to be able to get whatever supplies that are needed to help their people. To continue to put sanctions on people like America has is just pure D evil.
Brother Ochi, Brother X comes to mind. Brother X has been sounding it. You know, I don't think we take... You see, the messenger, don't shoot the messenger. Brother X has been telling us we're dealing with psychopaths. Simple and straight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mix it up. We are... You see, it's hard for us. We haven't got that nature. It's very hard for
right.
us to contemplate or even articulate the psychopathic nature of these psychopaths. It's
yeah.
very difficult. The first thing you know about a psychopath, he has no empathy for nobody. Nobody.
That's right. That's
okay?
Right.
It's very difficult for us to get our mind in that psychopathic type thinking. Now, if you remember, let me tell you, you know, Brother X, how right he is, yeah? You know this film they created in Hollywood called Psychopath? Yeah?
Okay.
You remember that film?
Okay.
Black and white film.
Yeah.
Yeah? Right. Now, the creators of that film, you know, his mind's got, isn't, the name of him is going out of my mind, yeah? But the area I grew up in East London, he comes from the same area. He went to Hollywood. I forget, he's a big director in Black, from the Black and White days. But he come from England.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Big Alfred Hitchcock. The same area where I grew up in, he come from. Yeah? All right, he went to, you know, way before my time, and he went to a thing. But I'm just showing you the connections, yeah? He makes this film. Now, watch that film. Think about that film, The Psychopath. He comes in. He's nice. He talks very peacefully. He puts very quiet. He's very, but and he thinks he's got his mother in the cupboard. His
right.
mother.
Right.
And he's killed his mother. He's a psychopath. Yeah. And this is what we're up against.
That's
They'll
right.
come to you nicely. They speak to you nicely,
yeah.
lovely, very politely. Because you know they don't raise their voice. And you get bought in. But they are psychopaths. They lock their mothers in the thing and they've killed their mother. You understand where I'm coming from?
I do. They'll do anything. Hold on, Paul, because we're coming up on time, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to extend the time. I appreciate Brother Elliot allowing me to do so. We got some other callers that may want to get in on this conversation. Let me catch another caller, okay, Brother Paul? So you stay right there. 334-334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. All honor and respect and remembrance to the ancestors, and in hearing Brother Paul's very, very energetic piece there, I just had to listen intently. But, you know, we're living in this age of coronavirus, and there are some basic questions, you know, fundamental questions of why, when, where, and how. But I like to focus on what, and that what being, what is it that we should be doing as people of African descent now that we're in this stage that we're in? Should we be focusing more on, for example, healthy eating?
Yes.
Should we be focusing on a spiritual awakening of ourselves individually and collectively? And how do we go about doing that? I know that we're all practicing and exercising that social distancing, but even through that, is there something? What is that something that we need to be doing at this time and stage in our lives? I know you're getting short on time, so I'll just listen to respond.
Thank you
so very much for
taking
my
call. Thank you, Brother Ted. Thank you, Brother Ted. I think at this particular moment, I stated early in the broadcast, I feel that everybody should get a mask. If you can't get one, damn it, make one. Because this virus that is in the air just has the piece I played with Fauci and Trevor Noah. He says it lingers in the air. It's almost like aerosol. It's bam, it's in the air. It's not dropping real quick. So it still could be there moments later as you entered the room. You didn't know somebody when you walked in the bathroom, in a public bathroom, it just sneezed and so forth, and you walked right into it. So my contention is everybody wear a mask. If you go out into the public, you wear a mask. Early on, they stated, you know, if you're healthy, you don't need to wear a mask. But if you have a cold and you're sneezing or you possibly have this virus, you need to wear a mask. Now, my feeling is everybody needs to wear a mask. And also to boost your immune system. Yes, it is what you eat and what you drink. Be healthy. Drink alkaline water. Eat good fruits and vegetables. I know when I had that cold before I went to and I wanted to go to Tulsa, and something jumped on me that Sunday. I was leaving for Tulsa that Thursday. One of the things I believe that really helped me was the elderberry tonic that the sister made. She made a delicious elderberry tonic, and I did some other things to boost my immune system, echinacea, and more vitamin C. But boost your immune system. And also, too, I believe what the brother, the Rasta brother said, and I seen another piece on heat into your nostrils because of the virus gets in, stays in your nasal cavities, enters into your trachea, then into your lungs, fills your lungs up with mucus and so forth, and you suffocate and die. And for people like me who has a history, I believe if I got this and there's no treatment for it, that I would probably go like my two brothers in Milwaukee. They went extremely fast. The brother's son said, my dad was feeling sick. He went to the hospital two days later, he was dead. So I'm saying is that we have to be very cautious and very, I'm not scared. I'm almost 70 years old. A few couple more years, I'll be 70. And so I'm not scared, but I'm very cautious and very aware that this is one of the things that we need to do. You know, 646, good afternoon.
Oshie, what's going on, brother? And I guess your boy Paul is still on the phone and others.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, this whole pandemic in the way that it's moving forward. You know, in all honesty, they really don't even know what it really is, how it was created. So I'm one of those people. I don't know if this is one of the dastardly deeds of the peck of wood. It could be. you never know. I mean,
no, you're right.
The peck of wood does.
You're right. Because, Paul, let me say this, because I don't give a damn what Fauci said. The AIDS virus was created, was a biological weapon. The AIDS virus was created at Fort Detrick, Maryland. When Zara Miles and Dr. Strecker was on the Montel Williams show talking about it, Zara Miles, not too long after that, was dead, you know? And you hear no more about it. I'm saying is that I put nothing past the people who run this city. I ain't talking about America. I'm talking about worldwide community of Caucasians. The Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati, all of these so-called secret societies and all that little bull. I put nothing past them to do whatever they have to do.
In all truthfulness, it could have been a black man that created this virus to get back at the Peckerwood. We don't know.
But see, let me say this.
But I want to finish this one point. My main thing is that it's a pandemic going on, and how do we quarantine the pandemic and spreading it to the rest of the world? That's my main concern, and I don't think we're doing a good job of it because people really, truly haven't identified it, because I know people that say it's nothing more than an advanced stage of the flu.
No, it's pneumonia. This is pneumonia. I've had pneumonia. This is what this is. But let me say this, Jay, and to the listeners. I don't put anything past them that they will kill a multi-number of individuals, even their so-called kin. What I stated earlier about Africa and China collaborating with Europeans to develop to tell Africa we have a vaccine for this, which would be poison to kill them. I put nothing past anybody understanding what has happened. What does the history tell us? What has happened? So I'm very cautious. My thing right now is optimum health for yourself. Optimum. Make sure you got a mask on. You got some gloves on. Make sure that even though, like, you know, my grandson, just like what Brother Paul said about his grandfather who now has passed and his grandmother, somebody could come into the house. My grandson could come into the house who lives with me. He is very youthful. Thinks he, you know, anybody who's a teenager, you think that nothing will ever happen to me. You know, I'm pervious to everything. But he may have it. And even though he doesn't show signs of it, but then give it to me. And then, of course, if it happens, I go down fast and I'm through. It could happen. So I'm saying these are the things that we definitely need to be aware of. What do we have to do right at this moment, right now? We can deal with how the whole thing, you know, transpired later, just like AIDS, how it transpired later. But what we need to do is find ways to protect ourselves. Just as Brother Ted just said, what do we do physically? What do we do spiritually to protect ourselves? When you probably seen on Facebook, they're talking about the Christian people. Y'all start be laying hands, healing somebody. Well, damn it, get your ass in the hospital right now and lay some hands on those people. I'm quite sure they need a hand laid on their ass. But it ain't happening.
Skydaddyism is just a place now where they just take advantage of the situation to try and get cheap. That's all. Right.
But Jay, it's dangerous. In Skydaddyism, led a number of congregations that say our faith is so strong, we're gonna come together, we're gonna have church. Hell, they put that pastor in jail in Florida. And then in one congregation, half the congregation got sick. The pastor and some deacons died. This is very serious. Go ahead, Paul.
I guess God daddy showed them the light.
I guess so. I guess so, Jay. Go ahead, Paul.
But, Archie, we are African-centered people, yeah? But
I know I is.
Color.
That's right.
Brother, this thing is not about race and not about color, and I can't even believe I'm saying that. This is simply about power. Who controls the world? Now, not only are these people psychopaths, they're megalomaniacs.
Yes.
They are absolute megalomaniacs, meaning that all they believe in is power. They are power control mad. So the question is, I respect Brother Jay, and he says we don't know. But listen, some of us have been reading for years and studying things, and we've been listening to people, listening attentively and doing our research. And many people said what's going to happen and how it's going to happen, and now it's here. So I'm not accepting that we don't know. Some of us may not know, but some of us do know. And what is know? Know means to know is short for knowledge. That's what know is, short for knowledge. So if you have the knowledge, if you don't have the... Let me just finish.
Hold on, Jay. Go ahead, Paul.
Know is the first part of knowledge. And if you don't have the knowledge, that means you're ignorant. That means you're ignoring the facts. And if you read and do your due diligence, you will see the facts. And there's no doubt. In actual fact, I'm willing to put every penny I have in the bank on this. They have created this. And now it's out of control, okay? So some people, knowing human nature, are riding on it and exploiting it because that's what they do, you understand? If you go and look at Bill Gates, he's building bunkers.
Yeah.
He's been talking about this.
Yeah.
He has been telling people need to die off the planet.
That's right.
What's the matter with you? We don't know. We do know.
Yes, he has.
He's telling people that. This royalty right here in England, he made a statement. He said, this is what he said, and I'm paraphrasing, okay? Don't tell me I don't know. He said that he hopes that a virus comes along. He said this and wipes off 3/4 of the world population because there are too many people on the planet. That's what Prince Charles said.
That's right.
But don't tell me I don't know.
That's right.
We do know.
No, Prince Charles said there are too many Africans. There are too many Africans, you know. That's what Prince Charles said, and then Bill Gates, to an audience, said we have vaccines for population control. What? I thought
right.
A vaccine.
Brother Ochi, what I'm saying, what do you think they were joking? Do you think they were just playing? Do you think it was just play day? We do know because they've been warning us. They've been warning us in their movies. They've been telling us, but we're not really paying attention because we're too bothered watching the game. We're too interested in the ball running up and down the pitch. And who created that? They created that deliberately to keep your attention misdirected. And now it's here. So hear what, Brother Ochi, yeah? The only thing you can do, and what you said about your grandson is so real. You see, your caller asked the most profound question. And half an hour ago, right here in England, someone asked the same question on the radio. Now, let me tell you, this is what I said. Listen carefully. prevention is better than cure, okay? Prevention. And what does that mean? I didn't have enough time to tell him what it meant. And what it means is this. We've been signing on your radio program. We've been saying all this for years. We know what's going on. We know. Let's not pretend that we don't. So we've been trying to prevent. And how have we been trying to do that? We've been trying to change the mindset of our people. We've been trying to say fire, 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 fire. And we know no one's really listening. Some choose to listen, some don't. But now it's here. It's here right on you. So what do? First, the thing you do, you get your mind right and realize this ain't no virus in the normal sense of virus. This is a biological weapon which has got out of hand and it's going to kill you. Okay? It's not a play date. It's not a joke. And if you're talking about a virus, then you really don't know. If you still think this is something from nature, okay, you're not ready for what's going to happen. You're going to die. It's as simple as that. So when he says, what are we going to do? You get your mind right and recognize that the narratives they're putting out there are false. Then the second thing you do, you talk to your family. You talk to them hard. You tell them this is not a joke. You tell them that the mask they're asking you to wear is just patronization. Because I just saw something on the internet, yeah, where some people turned up at a housing complex, yeah, and they were dressed from head to toe. The person in it, one of the residents was filming it. And they were dressed in head to toe in like a spacesuit. And that's what you should be wearing on the street. Because why would they turn up there at your house like that? Because they know. They got the information. So there it is. You ask what you should do. You should take this thing very seriously and talk to your family. Because they took away my granddad, Brother Ochi. We've not seen the body. We can't see the body. Imagine my grandfather.
Yeah.
They're taken. Nobody can see him.
That's right. They die alone. They die alone.
Right. Right, and that pains me. That's the most thing what bothered me. My grandfather had done so much. He had to die on his own. They took his. He was alive when they took him away. Nobody can see him. So who are we, Brother Ochi? We've been sounding this. We've been saying organizers are people, and we're still prophetic. We still allow these people to take away our people, and we can't do nothing about it. That's where we're at. So if he asks what we need to do, we need to get our heads right. And recognize that this is a warning that we are still in this perfect. 100 years ago, Marcus Garvey said, "Where are our men of bigger fears? Where are our army? Where are the people who stand up for us?" And today, we're asking the same damn questions.
Yeah, let me get Jay in here. Ochi. All right, let me get Jay in here because I'm about to close out. Jay, hey Jay, you there? Okay, well listen, let me get. Ted, you got something to add, Ted?
Yeah, Brother Ochi. But thank you so very much for those kinds and types of responses. I am just so sorry I called so late, but I'm sure we'll be talking more.
You know it will. Thank you. You know we will, brother. Thank you. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, man. Basically, what we're gonna have to do is just protect ourselves. What we're doing, how we're moving. And, you know, let's see how this whole thing plays out.
Okay, we'll just do that.
It's going to play out to be in the best interest of African people.
Nothing
does. Hopefully we're intelligent enough to place ourselves in the position to make it benefit us.
Okay. Hotep. All right. Brother Paul, I want to thank you.
You know what? You know, thanks you for giving me the time, Brother Ochi. I wanted to say this at the beginning. You're very special. You're very special. And I tell you why. Because sometimes when we talk to our people, we don't seem to be able to even communicate on the basic level. If I tell you something, then you should have the courtesy to respond to me. And I tell you, you're a great, great man for allowing me to correspond and even get this point over. So I know that the ancestors are standing close to you. So keep up the good work and keep the fire burning. You're brilliant.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you, your contributions. And thank you so much. And all those brothers and sisters that have participated. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and showing the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a beautiful and glorious day. Be safe. Protect yourself. Go get a mask or build or create one. Make one. Wear gloves. Protect yourself. This is no joke. Shem Hotep,
means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.